When you come to talk about a title like this, the whole surmise, the whole lecture is based on the idea or the realization that life as we know it is the product of superphysical activity. In other words, we are the end product, and the physical world that we know around us is the end product of forces, of life-giving vitality, which belongs to the superphysical worlds. Now, this isn't the idea. Well, yes, it is an idea that is believed in by many, many people, but they give lip service to it only. They don't really live and think as though that were the case. They attach very much more importance to the everyday life that they are living. And when you talk in this way, when you talk in terms of metaphysics or theosophy, then you find a difficulty in finding a ground in which can be demonstrated. And fortunately for us, there have been, of recent years, some demonstrations of the life beyond the physical. The first that I will refer to was a book which was written about 35 years ago, and which, for the first time in scientific history, described the aura around the body, which is said to exist in all living creatures, and which is invisible to ordinary vision, and which also varies with the states of health, disease, thought, and feeling. Now, the person who wrote this book and did the experiments was a doctor, W.J. Kilner, M.A., M.B., C.H.B., M.R.C.P. He was a physician and a consultant at St. Thomas's Hospital in London. Now, having given him all his name and all his letters after his name, I hope I have established that he was respected as a physician and a student of medical science and dipped beyond pure medical science into the metaphysical field. Now, he made a solution of a coal tar dye called dicynamine in alcohol. And I believe that this has also been done in many parts of the world afterwards and was done some years ago in New Zealand. Unfortunately, the solution is not very stable and it has to be remixed every few days. But with this solution, when you look through it in a glass vehicle, you can see outside the body another body that is of a superphysical nature because we cannot see it with the ordinary eye. He was the first who showed that this could be seen. He didn't live long. Probably, having written this book, he would have been called a crank, like many others who departed from strict science were, and he may have been discredited. However, he demonstrated that the skin of the body is only the outside dimension of the body in its dense physical aspect. He made visible, is that somebody at the door? He made visible a further body outside it. Now, this has been known by clairvoyance and those who had extrasensory perception of various types for many, many thousands of years. And it is fully explained and described. For instance, in the ancient Hindu teachings, in the Vedas and the Upanishads, from which Theosophy draws most of its knowledge. This etheric double, as it is sometimes called, this body of health and vitality, is something that we can ourselves get to know something about. It's something of great importance to people who study health, and I will talk about those aspects later. But it also has a relationship to those things that we call ghosts, and there is plenty of reliable information that such things do exist. And they exist in a form of physical matter, just beyond that which we know as physical, and which has that bluish-gray look, and which can pass through ordinary physical matter because it is more subtle. And, of course, that is the matter that, if there are ghosts, and I think there are, would be made of. And also ectoplasm, those of you who are interested in seances. But the important thing to us is that this body of vitality is the wiring system for the nervous system. Now, I've used the wiring for the nervous system. In other words, it is the means by which the whole nervous system functions and by which the whole of the physical body is controlled. The motor action of the physical body is controlled. It's controlled by means of the brain, which in it, again, is actuated by a higher principle, the principle of thought and feeling. Not tonight going into these higher principles, I'm going to stick more to that which we know as the etheric. The etheric is an electromagnetic field. It's an energy field. It is akin to heat, but a red-hot steel has no such field. And if you looked at a red-hot piece of steel through the Kilner screen, you would not see that little band of grey, bluish matter extending outside it. It belongs only to live beings, such as the human and the animals, and in a less spectacular way to plants. Clairvoyants who with supersensory powers look at the body of a person or plant or plants or animals and see this vital body all agree that this energy field presents a projected picture of the physical, vital, and psycho-spiritual state of the person to whom it belongs. Now, this must be the case because it is the mechanism by which the thought and feeling and the brain are linked with the motor action of the physical body. It extends about half an inch beyond the skin and, as I said, is grayish-blue. But that's only the outside of it, because it interpenetrates every particle of the body. It is the matrix in which the body grows. And it is the energy pattern for every organ of the body, for every cell. And by it, by this matrix, or this force field, every organ plays its role in the health of the body, and every cell is anchored to a pattern, and it plays through the tissues of the body and gives them health and vitality. In fact, it's safe to say that the tissues only go on being alive, conforming to the pattern which is the body, as long as this energy field is present. And when the energy field is withdrawn, then the pattern, the body, starts to die. It dies and starts to disintegrate. That is the first and major, no, it's not the major, but it's the first aspect of death or dying, and it's the decay aspect of the matter of which the bodies are composed. Now, fields of energy are generally at right angles to one another. Those of you who know how a generator works, for instance, you have this going round and round, and at right angles to it is an electric field, an electromagnetic field. Or the other way, you have the electromagnetic field at right angles, and the electric power is generated at right angles to it. If you have the electric field like that, the magnetic field like that, the electricity is produced at right angles to the other. So this magnetic field in the body has its two aspects at right angles to one another, and a complex aspect as well. The first is that which flows up the spine of man from the base of the spine to the head. And this is the primary flow of the nervous system. And this is the basic flow that produces the magnetic field, the etheric energy field. And this is the primary flow for all vertebrates, human beings, and animals whose spines are erect. Now, this is because the primary force that sustains life in the general sense is that which comes from above, from the sun, and which, if we think of it, appears to come down. Whereas there is a secondary force which comes from the center of the earth, the same energy, but imprisoned in the center of the earth and flowing upwards. Now, both these are vertical. They are like an alternating current. We use both in being alive. These are the primary energies which sustain all life. So the one coming down, the love of God, the power of God, the sustaining power of God, call it what you will, and that which comes from the center of the earth meet and they sustain. And their main meeting ground is in the spine, the nervous system. But the secondary aspect is produced at right angles to them. And so that which is produced as vitalizing for the particular body is at right angles, generally speaking, to the nervous system flowing in the spine. And it comes outside the skin, as I said, fraction of an inch, half an inch, possibly a little bit more, and it is a flow outwards from the envelope, which is the physical body. And when the life, the vitality of the body is high, then the flow outwards is straight and direct. When the vitality is not high, there is a tendency for it to droop. And that can be seen by clairvoyance. It can be contacted by any of you. You know, probably, you've had that feeling of the sort of the limpness of a person who's not well. Then there is a whole basket work of energy which flows in streams through the body as a result of this primary flow up the spine. And, of course, there's also the sympathetic nervous system which is linked with this. They combine with the flow of the blood, the lymphatic system, and the whole go together to keep the body alive. And this aura, this magnetic aura, this electromagnetic aura, is vibrating and changing all the time. Now, our physical body is changing. Every cell in this physical body is given off, sloughed off about once every 7 years. And with the food we eat and the air we breathe, that cells, new cells, are formed and vitalized and take the place of the old. So this body is ever changing. But the nervous system, the body of the nervous system, is changing even more rapidly. And because it changes rapidly, it is more valuable, as it is the regulator of the functions of the body and balances the whole being. Now, after the flow up the spine takes place, then the living organism, which is the human body or an animal body, can absorb another form of energy, which is a particular and yet a particular type of energy for human beings and animals, but yet is general in this world, which has been called in the East prana. And prana is the energy which you get from the air you breathe. It's more than just oxygen. It's a quality of the oxygen that you breathe, from the food you eat. And that, of course, is behind the idea that the food you should eat should be natural and not too highly processed. This prana that we take in gives the particular vitality, the field of vitality, a particular quality which is ours, and tends to make that personal magnetism which is our particular quality, the first quality of the personality. The second and third qualities are the quality of the feeling and the thought of the personality. Now, the absorption of this prana is profoundly influenced by physical conditions, by the food we eat, by the hygiene, which has an effect upon our health, because this is health, by cold, because the flow of these forces up the spine, and the taking in of the prana and the air we breathe has a lot to do with the maintenance of the heat of the body temperature. It is affected by tiredness, because there we've used up more of that energy field than we normally do, and the inflow is not great enough to revitalize the store. And all of these conditions show in the etheric or the health aura that I have been talking about. Again, if you lack energy or fitness, this can be caused by being starved, lack of prana or energy coming from the food, or overfed, because that's gumming up the organism again, or by taking drugs, or living in a smoky atmosphere, or by insufficient exercise, or too much exercise. All of these things will affect the flow of this pranic force, this etheric force. Then one becomes colorless. One becomes surrounded by a vital body, that a gray mist which is drooping and colorless and not alive. Now, the other aspects of the aura, no, perhaps I better leave that. Too much activity, like being overexcited, causes lack of cohesion in this etheric field, and it tends to become brittle and to perish, loses its quality, its tone. Or, on the other hand, it can allow the energy to leak away. If you're very sluggish and have no positive vitality, no positive thought or action towards things, then also you can find that it is being dissipated and leaking away. Ill health shows in the etheric. It would show to a certain extent by looking through the Kilner screen, but it is certainly seen by clairvoyants and those who have the quality of ability to see that which is the health aura. The rhythm or flow is upset. The energy tends to go into whirlpools. Instead of going flowing freely throughout the whole body, it tends to go into whirlpools. It becomes congested. especially at that part or organ which is not functioning naturally. The pattern of growth is lost. This is something that happens in certain diseases. One of the principal ones being cancer. Now, I mentioned before that it is by the etheric double, or the etheric body, or this magnetic energy body, that the pattern of growth is maintained. And should something happen to upset that pattern, then the growth of the cells and things goes on in a pattern of its own, and is no longer controlled by the all-overriding control of the energy force field. And when that happens, we have the various diseases that come under the group of cancer, and the cell structure go on and build away from the pattern, and ultimately the whole quality of the body is lost. Or if we're overworked and unable to carry on the body in its normal way, the quota of energy is not sufficient, then there is a breakdown in the revitalizing force of this magnetic flow. This happens in the case of tuberculosis and those sort of diseases where there is not the power to revitalize and build the cells quickly, as quickly as they are broken down. Of course, that goes on all the time in life. We work too hard, we don't sleep enough, and we cannot rebuild the cells. Now, talking about sleep, we sleep lying down because, do you remember I said that that force which vitalizes us is the one that is at right angles to the surface of the earth, that flows vertically up our spine. And that links the superphysical activity, the spiritual activity, the thought-feeling activity, and the brain activity with the physical body. Now at night, we want to forget about our thought-feeling activity, and we lie at right angles, with the spine at right angles to that vertical flow, and in line with the magnetism which flows across the surface of the earth. And we can rebuild the wasted cells in the body much better in that position than if we were standing up all night asleep. It's interesting. I was going to talk about the nerves. That long cell, the cell which is the nerve end, and the long fiber that links it back, sometimes several feet long, linked it all, always linked back to the spinal cord. The nervous impulse, which is in the nature of an electric impulse because it's in this electromagnetic or etheric field, travels relatively slowly, about 30 feet per second. And when health is good, the flow of those down that nerve ganglia, down that nerve fiber, can be seen as a silver stream to those who have clairvoyant sight. But thought and feeling influence health, and vice versa, because they are superphysical activities beyond that which I am talking about, but they affect health through this pattern. The etheric body is closely linked with the body of feeling, sometimes called by Theosophists the astral body. It in turn is very closely linked with thought. I mean, the body of thought and feelings, the thought-feeling activity of a human being is very much linked. You feel, then you think, and then you feel again, and so life goes on with a build-up of thought-feeling attitudes towards things. So we find that these have an effect upon the etheric condition. Now, all matter, to understand this a little more, we must recognize that all matter is a continuum. It's like the octaves on a piano. And if we start at the lowest that we know best, the physical world, that which has definite shape and definite size, the solid matter, we find that the next octave up would be that which is liquid. Definite size, but no definite shape. And then the gases. Now above that again are four more octaves of the physical world. And it's in those upper four that the etheric field exists. It's in that quality of matter, which does not respond to the senses in the same way as which the lower three do. It is in that field that this etheric flow takes place. The three upper ones of the bracket are more important. It's in them that the memory of the pattern is contained, and the highest is the link with the superphysical matter and consciousness above that again. But the fourth, between the two brackets of three, exists in the etheric brain. And here it is the bridge between the physical world, the physical body of activity, and the etheric field that reflects the higher activity of fields of force and superphysical activity beyond. So there are seven levels or wavelengths or rates of vibration or what have you. And through these consciousness plays, man lives in a physical body through a sevenfold field of interrelated energies, three of which belong to the objective physical world of the senses, three to his own or subjective world because they reflect thought and feeling, and the fourth is the link between them, which exists at the physical brain. Now feeling is linked with the etheric field, the vital field. Feeling is only present when that vital field is active. And when the etheric field is deadened by anesthetic, by drugs, and various other means, hypnotism is one, then the pain of that comes to you through sense impression no longer exists. In other words, if the etheric pattern, the etheric flow is not there, then you cannot feel pain. Remember when your leg goes to sleep, there the etheric is not completely integrated with the leg as it normally is. The link is lost. The pain does not take place until the circulation begins to come back into the leg. When the circulation is out, when the etheric is not present, then there is no pain. At night, there is a withdrawal. And the withdrawal takes with it that which, through the brain, links with the motor activity of the body. And the body relaxes and rests. But a certain amount of that etheric fluid or flow remains in the brain, so that if there's something happens, a loud noise or anything that startles you, you wake and your consciousness returns to full sensory activity. Man is beyond all this. He is a spiritual being first and foremost. He's a spark of the divine. He is part of the one, the only life. And he expresses his potential divinity or godlike qualities through all these energy fields which he uses as bodies or vehicles. And through these, his consciousness plays within the three universal forces that I spoke about, that which comes from above, that which comes from below, and that which is the health-giving vital force which we call prana. to something like a television set. Remember, I started off by saying that all our activity is the product of superphysical activity. Now, in a television tube, you have the current coming in at one end. You know, the tube has got the front that we look at, and then it sort of slopes off to a point, something like in a big electric light bulb. Well, the force comes in, the electrical force comes into the back. It is then ionized, split up into very, very fine particles, and those particles are thrown or move across the space from the back to the front, where they are made luminous according to a pattern which is imposed upon them. And this is what's happening in us. The current, the superphysical current, that which is our true nature, comes in, as it were, from above, or comes in behind, and we are not aware of its passage across the tube until it reaches the screen in front. The screen in front being the activity of the physical world that we know so well, based on sense impression and affected by thought feeling. But we only know the results of thought feeling. We really don't understand what happens when we think or feel. Now, there is in the body, besides the physical brain, several centers which are linked with the control of this pattern and the health of the body. These are called the chakras, which means in Indian terminology a wheel, because to clairvoyance they appear to spin as great whirlpools of force. But we know of them better as the centers which link the physical body with the superphysical worlds. Now, there are seven primary ones, but there are many, many more. And any person who knows something about judo and those sort of things knows that there are points where you can exert pressure, and the etheric is pushed out, in some cases pushed right out of the brain, and unconsciousness takes place. The main seven ones correspond to what we call the endocrine glands. Not all the endocrine glands are recognized by science yet, but most of them are. Starting here, we have the one at the base of the spine, which is connected with sex. Then we have the two here, the solar plexus here, and the spleen at the back. Now these two here are linked with the lower emotions. And you all know that the English language is full of occult truths. A sinking feeling in the pit of the stomach. Butterflies in the stomach. They're all an excitement at this center here, which stops the flow of that life-giving energy force that I was talking about, disrupts it, and causes digestion, for instance, not to function properly. Up here we come to the one that we know better, the heart, the seat of the emotions for man, generally speaking. And that is the center of all that is most wonderful in us in many ways, because there, the radiance that comes from the heart, the Christian charity, the impersonal love or personal love, is possibly the highest attribute that man has. Now, this is linked to the higher emotional nature, but again, it is linked with the vital forces which flow through. I forgot to say that down here you have the adrenal glands, the ductless glands, the adrenal glands, and when you meet a situation that you can't cope with, there is adrenaline shot into the bloodstream, and you get extra energy to cope with the situation. Like if a bull is chasing you and the fence over there is about 6 feet high, under those circumstances, the flow of adrenaline into the bloodstream gives you the extra energy to jump that 6-foot fence. And you go back afterwards and wonder how you did it. So that's the heart center. Then there's the throat center, which is the thyroid, And it's known now that that center, the thyroid and the parathyroid, have a great deal of effect upon the development of the body, the normal development, the normal pattern development of the body. Because you see, this is where the superphysical pattern is imposed upon the physical, through that center at the throat. And so you know that it's linked. This is linked up with orthodox knowledge of the growing science of endocrinology is linked, really, just beginning to link with the metaphysical knowledge of the fourth centers. Then there are two in the head. There's one here, which is that which is used by clairvoyant faculty, which is called the pituitary. Now, I say this, that you can yourselves know whether those exist. And this one, right here, is the one that you find active when you have been concentrating mentally very, very continuously and well. But the one at the top of the head, the crown chakra, which is the little lump that you see on the head of the Lord Buddha and his statues, is a very real thing, because it is through that that the flow to the superphysical and spiritual worlds takes place. And in a fully integrated and developed person, the flow up the spine goes without any effort, vitalizing the whole of the body, and flows out through the crown of the head to join with the flow, the divine flow that is coming down. Someday we will all reach that point. You could have a look at this book afterwards. It's The Chakras by Mr. Leadbeater, and has probably the best description of any book, although there are many others, of the centers of the superphysical world, the chakras. Now, to sum up, the vital body is that which allows the universal energies to flow through the body. It's the medium, and flowing through the body, they produce health and well-being. The things that help, for instance, are vitamins. I forgot to say that vitamins appear to be one of those things necessary for the correct functioning of these four centers or chakras that I was talking about. They are linked with what we have now called prana, and again, these are available in sunlight and in fresh air. Secondly, it supplies the growth pattern. The growth pattern is mental in its nature. Mind comes first, and a pattern or form comes second. You know that that is the case. When you're building anything, you think about it, and you put down in a drawing and a blueprint that which you are going to build, and then the physical activity takes place. Now, the etheric is the force, is the method of this force, this pattern being imposed upon the physical through this force field that I was talking about. And in the Delaware laboratories in England, they have a sensitive psychic camera which will take things like this, and you can look at these afterwards. This is a photograph of a lily, a plant, at the seed stage, and I think it was taken from a seed of the aconite lily. And this is a photograph at another stage of the psychic or etheric form that the lily will take. And you can see the leaves coming out. There is here human embryos and various other things photographed in the same way. What they have been able to do by mediumistic methods is to materialize or give that such a quality that it will reflect light, a tenic light, and has affected a photographic plate. But you can see here the sort of the streams of force that in this etheric field are molding the lily into the pattern which is its archetypal pattern, or to which it will ultimately conform. But every lily is a little bit different from every other one. Every oak tree is an oak tree, and it comes from just a little acorn. But every oak tree is just a little bit different from every other one. Every human being conforms to a pattern, but every human being is just that much different from any other. You might like to have a look at that as well. So this is the field which brings down the growth pattern from superphysical worlds. The pattern, or the control of the pattern, is by mind or memory. This affects plants too, as I have said, because the flow in the plant is up the trunk from the ground, from the roots, and up the trunk and out through the branches and then down again and up again. It also has a balancing effect in controlling growth, because, as I said, that is a function that we're understanding now in endocrinology. But it's most important that we recognize that the etheric is the first link between the physical that we know through the senses and the superphysical worlds from which all life emanates. Because the physical or objective understanding depends on the senses and can only be attuned to one kind of impulse at a time. The consciousness focuses one sense impression and then another, and our consciousness flits around. The physical world is a shadow picture of the spiritual worlds beyond. Even emotionally, at the next highest level, we cannot grasp the whole complex of life. But by the mind, or mentally, we can get a concept of the universe as composed of intermingling fields of force. And this concept is the very root of metaphysics. And the first of those force fields is the etheric, about which we have been talking tonight. But all these force fields are aspects of the one life. There is nothing else. If you want a definition of God, it is that. All the force fields that sustain life and all the units of life that are in that force field. And to close, I'll read to you a very beautiful affirmation. I am not this body which belongs to the world of shadows. I am not the desires which affect it. I am not the thoughts which fill my mind. I am not the mind itself. I am the divine flame within my heart, eternal, immortal, ancient, without beginning, without end. More radiant than the sun in all his noonday glory, purer than the snow, untouched, unsullied by the hand of matter. More subtle than the ether is the spirit within my heart. I and my Father are one.